Hi there. How are you? Welcome to the Hilton Garden Inn.
Hello, this is Nick Armstrong of the Four Thieves.
And I'm Glenn Wedgwood from Four Thieves.
This all started because Glenn wrote me the nicest personal email thanking me for playing the record. So what I want to know is, Glenn, how many people did you write a nice personal email to thanking them for playing the record? I want to know how special.
How many? Very few, actually. Not because people weren't playing the record, but it was kind of, I know X amount got sent out in advance copies. And I was more concerned with people who I respected, you know, the shows. So it was pretty much, you know, off the top of my head, yourself and Woxy, and I think there's a station in Philadelphia. So just a real, you know, a handful who I thought it'd be really cool if these guys pick it up, and they did. So you were one of those, which I was like, right, we're doing the right thing. So
now the original name of the band, if I'm correct, didn't even make it to your first album.
For some reason, I don't know. When we were making the record, our original drummer went nuts.
Like the Spinal Tap thing, the drummers. What is it with the drummers?
They're just head cases.
Too close to the snare drum. I think that's what it is. Those vibrations and those loud pings.
The
yeah, they just eventually drive you wild.
Is Nottingham really England's capital of crime? Are there any famous crimes, or just bank robbers and more pickpockets and bank robbers per capita in Nottingham?
I think it's just top of the heap for consistency.
Consistent crime.
Yeah, it's not, you know, there's no standout ones. There's no Brinks mat robberies or anything, but you can guarantee somebody's going to get shot once a week. So,
excellent. Have you been responsible, Nick? Personally, have you been responsible for any of this? Have you like brought the crime statistics up to a certain level so it stays the capital of crime?
Maybe sexual crime and harassment, but I've been on the brunt of some crimes.
But the interesting thing, and when you interview American bands versus British bands, they say it differently. Working class has a different definition in England because, you know, Liverpool and Manchester, these, you know, and the capital of crime, you know, these were at least when we were all growing up with the original British invasion, these were working class towns. And here in America, you talk to bands like, oh, I work a day job. But you see, so working class to me over there is more of an overall lifestyle, you know. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, were you also self-taught on all your instruments as a result of the working class?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anybody who's had lessons. I mean, you know, it's... I grew up in a small town in the northeast of England, and that's very much working class, you know. You get up at the crack of dawn, do your job, and then if you've got time, do the things you want to do. So, but I don't know.
The story of how you got signed is pretty interesting because, and it's a good one, so I'm going to ask you to tell it, because it was from a demo cassette. Not even from a cassette. I like it. It's got that old-fashioned feel, old-school vibe, which gives you, you know, a great story to tell, which you're about to tell me, I think.
Well, yeah, it's a long story. It's kind of, the whole band's a crazy story. It's been a long ride, but I got signed by, I just used to make four-track demos and a bunch together on cassette, and my girlfriend at the time sent them off to a magazine competition who called me up and said I hadn't won, but I'd came in second. So I got a call the next day from the management and to say, well, you've got a record deal.
Congratulations, you came in second. We didn't like the guys who came in first. Yeah. We didn't give them a deal.
So it was pretty bizarre at the time. So
has she gotten a percentage? I think I sense this as a former girlfriend. Has she gotten any percentage of the as a result of the, you know, you getting the deal?
She's probably got most of my possessions.
But this album, If You Can't Escape My Pretty, is kind of a recasting, rewriting, and re-everything, right, of that record with all four of you and lots of new songs and all of that. So tell me about the process on that.
Well, for one thing, I was just sick of everyone. Every interview I was doing, everyone was saying I was like the 60s throwback star. And it's, I don't know, the first record's kind of really mad concept record for me to look back at it. It sounds pretty nuts. So I kind of wanted to start again, but you've also got to link up somehow a record with the previous record to this one and trying to nod to the future. So something like that.
So Austin is your adopted home, much different from Nottingham. It's not the capital of crime. It's more, but musically, it's a wonderful place for you to be, is it not?
It's a fantastic town, and like getting a record deal, we fell into America, and ripped up
plenty. Did it hurt?
It did. It did at first.
But the taxes are better, right?
It's damn cheaper.
So does playing South by Southwest feel like playing, you know, like a local gig only with 10,000 more people in attendance?
Austin it's still pretty wacky the weekends, but we tend to keep away from 6th Street.
Tell me a little bit about your producer, Austin Guy, right? So you kind of went full throttle on the new home.
Well, he's called Chris Frenchie Smith, and he's the guitarist in Young Heart Attack. And he's kind of a mad, interesting character.
What was it like? So again, getting back to doing this new record and this, quote, moving forward sound, what did he do and what was the relationship like between artist and producer?
Well, he's a guitarist, so he was like, let's guitar rock it. And we had to kind of curtail some of the kind of Americanisms of his like rock, American rock tastes. We had to try and like rein those in a bit, you know.
Did you realize where you're from, the capital of crime?
It will do shortly.
You premiered the new sound on tour with this little band called the Pretenders before the record was even released. So what was that like?
It was a blast, you know. Fabulous, great crowds. We had got them really swinging, gave the Pretenders a run for the money, and they had to raise the game by the end.
Anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, every night we were just blown away by our reception from the fans. So I mean, we must have been doing something right, you know.
And they didn't know the songs yet. So now that they know the songs, which this year they know the songs, what's the difference there?
Well, we'll probably start writing a new record and just take those on the road, and like they won't know the songs, so they'll be confused and go and buy another record.
But this morning, the first track that I listened to was "The Day Is a Downer," and I was listening, which is always a good one to wake. It's a beautiful one to wake up to, but that's a pretty peppy British invasion-y tune. That when you, if you were just tracking the album and you said, "Oh, I think I'll listen to "A Day Is a Downer," that's a peppy, you know. And don't take this the wrong way, but it could have been produced by Mickey Most in the '60s, you know, in a good way.
I don't know. We just did it. No intentions behind it.
But you named it "The Day Is a Downer," and it's like "The Day Is a Downer." You're like,
that's Nick's optimistic outlook on life there, right? shining through like the rays of sunshine.
Well, it is. It's bloody miserable during the daytime.
Yeah, but then you know, and again, because of what I do on the radio and the kind of stuff that I play, major harmonies and things like "Have Pity." So, you know, and you think about defining that. People try to define the sound of this band and every band, and the reviewers are like, "Well, you know, it sort of sounds like." And so what do you even bother to read that stuff?
I just started reading some emails again for the first time in about a year. And we got sent like a scan from England from all the different radio reports. And it was great to read what they were saying about the band. Like, just so completely thrown. They don't know. They're not getting it. I kind of love that.
Are they not getting it, or is it a good thing that they can't define?
It's a good thing that they can't define the band. So I think
going back to what you said earlier about the whole Noel Gallagher thing, I mean, that's the nearest thing they've got to latch onto. But ironically, they couldn't be further from the truth. Like, if they do that, it's kind of like, all right, well, I'm not going to continue reading this interview because you obviously just read a press quote. You haven't listened to it. Don't waste me time, you know?
So have you gotten, like, the killer NME quote yet? Have you gotten like the NME quote, the one that we all, you know, that every band waits for?
I'm sure we're close to getting the killer, in the sense of killing us off NME quote, but no. I mean, you know, I read something from the NME, and it was like quoting lyrics that aren't in songs, so again, I've got no time of day to pay attention.
For me, I don't know, it's just to keep my mind ticking over, like, keep going through phases of creativity and lack of it. So
and
that's
lack of it.
Yeah. So I'm like, if I'm creative, then I'm happy. And it's the bands. That's definitely through a metamorphosis at the moment. It's like it's got to kind of switch around or change or somehow to keep it flourishing and striking spears through the hearts of nations.
I can't. That's like that moment. You know, like the big arc in the story, spears through the hearts of nations. What more can you possibly?
I think Zulu Dawn.
Yeah, I think I have. And because you guys are so wide awake this morning, we've created a thing called a musical sandwich. We take two of your songs and we make them the bread of the sandwich. And then you are off the cuff going to give me at least three or four songs each in between by other artists.
And I want to say either Lay Me Back Down or Mother's Dilemma.
It's bread.
Yeah.
Soggy bread.
I was going to say Won't Be Fooled, but I don't know whether that's classed on there. That'd be a nice kind of similar kind of bread thing. It's got a bonus track. Does that count? Zeppelin 3.
Yeah.
Was it Hats Off to Roy Harper?
Yeah, we can do that.
Is that that one?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of whacked out one?
Yeah. Okay.
That's one of them then.
All right, come on.
Shostakovich's Russian Waltz.
Lions and the Cucumber from the Vampiros Lesbos soundtrack.
Everly Brothers, Just One Time.
TV on the radio, that's what's stuck in my head. The first track is It's Great. I was a Lover.
Okay.
Yeah, off the latest album.
All right.
The Coral, A Secret Kiss.
Maybe Jesus Christ by Long Pigs.
Kate Bush, Running Up That Down Good That Hill. New Morning by Bob Dylan.